In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Very reverend, reverend fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Almasia Kam. Okay, one more time. Come on, guys. We're proclaiming the nature of our salvation. Christ is risen. There we go. Whew. Well, anyway, today, this is one of those great weeks where there's so much going on. It's the second week after Pascha, the second Sunday after Pascha, which is always devoted to the myrrh-bearing women, Joseph of Arimathea. So it's actually the names day of our Metropolitan Joseph. He's not named after Joseph the Troth or any of the other myriad of Josephs, but instead he's named after Joseph of Arimathea. So at the end of the service, we'll actually sing his Femi, which is the little ditty that's written for each of the hierarchs to be sung when they're here, or also on special days like this when it's their feast day. So we'll sing that at the end of the service today. And then it's also, today is also Pachomius the Great of Egypt. Now Pachomius the Great is the father of monasticism that's not of the hermetic sense. You know, St. Anthony the Great is considered the father of monasticism. He, in a sense, was the first to go out, but he lived as a hermit. He didn't start monasteries. People came and kind of collected around him and became his disciples, but he didn't intentionally go and start monasteries. Pachomius, who was a contemporary of his, actually went and started monasteries. He was the first to kind of have a monastic rule where people would come and live together and they live in community. And you know, it's said in the Orthodox Church that the monastics imitate the lives of the angels, and we, in as much as we can, imitate the lives of the monastics. It's said that there's two paths to salvation. Those paths are marriage and monasticism. And the main thing about that point, isn't that if you're single, you necessarily have to become a monastic, but instead the idea is that we're not saved alone. We're not saved as one individual reading the Bible in his room saying, okay, God, save me. But instead, we're saved in community. And so the two forms of community that normally crop up are those two things. Pachomius, starting those monasteries. You know, as I said, St. Anthony went and lived on his own as a hermit. But that's not how it works for monastics. A good friend of mine was talking about how he wanted to go and be a hermit, a monastic, and go live a hermetic life. And I said to him, okay, that's not how it works. What happens is you go and you actually live in a monastery, and then if your spiritual father believes that this is good for your salvation, they bless you to go and live on your own. It's not because you don't want to be bothered by other people that you go and live in a cave. That's not really monasticism. That's not wanting to be bothered by other people. And likewise, we're saved by our family. We're saved by the community that we live in. And so that's the other path. And like I said, it's not that being a monk or a nun is a wonderful, beautiful thing. And I would encourage all of our young people to consider that as one of their possible paths in life, of actually devoting your life to Christ in a monastic type setting. However, having said that, it's a calling that's not necessarily for everyone. I've actually heard a story of a woman who went to a monastery, and the abbess sent her away and said, this almost fits you a little too well. Go away at least for a while and work out your salvation in the world, and then if you're still feeling drawn, then come back. And that's not normally the case. Normally what it is people go to the monastery and go, whoa, this is really not for me. But what is for us, what is for each and every one of us, is community. And so it's living with one another. We're saved through our relations with one another. And that's a very important thing in our life in Christ, is recognizing the fact that, like I said, we're not saved by just doing our prayers alone, reading the scriptures alone, but we're saved by coming together in community and by serving the services together and by partaking of the sacraments together and by praying for one another. That's huge. If you don't have a daily prayer rule, it's really important that you do for your own salvation, but also for all of our salvation as well, that we pray for one another for the salvation of those who are in the body. And then that also is good in terms of our relationships with others. When we pray for them, we can kind of get a glimpse of how God views them instead of how we view them. You know, I don't want God to look at me and see all my foibles and all my faults and just see my sins and just see the ways in which I fail you and fail my wife and my kids and fail those around me that I love. We want God to look at us with that unconditional love that he has promised that he has for us, which means that there's nothing we can do to make God love us anymore, and there's nothing we can do to make him love us any less. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing, that agape, unconditional love that he has for us. And so what are we called to do? We're called to love in the same way that God loves us. That's a shock. That's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to look at someone who may hate you, someone who may make it their life to make your life miserable, and say, I'm supposed to love you in the same way that my God loves me, my perfect God loves me. And it's not an easy thing, but love's not an emotion either. Love is something that we work on. It's an action, it's a verb. And so we do that first and foremost by praying for them. We also do that by humbling ourselves to them. You know, the verse that's used, the epistle verse that's used in the wedding, starts off, does anybody know? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But there's a little bit of context here that's kind of lost by starting there. Because the immediate preceding verse, which is in a different chapter in our scriptures, but they weren't written with chapters, they weren't written with verses, they originally weren't even written with punctuation and capital letters. It was just a line of letters. And so the immediate line before that is, submit yourselves one to another. And I'll also point out that the husbands are called, in a sense, to a higher task. They're called husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we know he gave his life for her. But, you know, I've submitted to many bosses, but I've had a hard time loving those bosses in the past. I love my current boss. but so anyway, the line before that is, submit yourselves one to another. And that's one of the ways that we show love one for another, is that we submit ourselves to those that we're in relationship with. And as Christians, we're in relationship with those in our family, with those in the church, and ultimately, we're supposed to be neighbors to every single person around us, to our enemies, and to love our enemies as well. And so that's how we love them. There's a saying that's not really exactly right, but it's kind of fake it until you can make it. And what it means by that is not in a hypocritical sense, but it means go through the motions, because that helps soften your heart. When you want to say, no, I'm going to stand firm and have my own way, is when you need to go, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and help me to submit myself to this person, to show my love for them for their salvation. Today in the epistle and in the gospel, we read of people who were doing that. People who were in a difficult time. The first, in the epistle, we read of the deacons who were actually called on to serve tables. That's what they originally did. They served more in a physical way, serving the physical needs of the community. Now they serve very much in a liturgical way, in a physical way as well. And they also serve us priests by being wrong. There's a whole joke behind that, but I won't get into it right now. But the job of the deacon is to be wrong. But so anyway, so we have them serving that way. And then the other thing that we have is the amazing story of the myrrh-bearing women, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, going to the tomb despite the fact that their Lord was dead. Despite the fact that the man that they had put their hopes into had died, they still submitted to him. They still were faithful to him. Think about that. That's amazing. This man that they followed, that they thought was going to lead Israel out of the yoke of the Roman oppression, was dead. Their hopes and their dreams and everything that they had lived for the previous couple of years was gone. And yet they went as an act of faith to do what they thought was one final thing, and then got the surprise of their lives. There are times in our life when it's very difficult to do those things, to show the love that we have for one another. There are times when it's difficult even to do things to show the love that we have for God. The newly canonized saint, Elder Paisios, writes about this. He says, "There are days when out of fatigue or illness, we cannot do everything the way that we should. It is bad when duties are completely neglected because the enemy gains ground and conquers our heart. In such cases, we must do something, even if it is the least possible. Like the good soldiers who, when they are not able to mount an offensive, fire a few shots from their trench, thereby keeping the enemy at bay. Later on, when they find the first opportunity, they attack the enemy with heavy weapons and defeat him. For example, when he," meaning the enemy, meaning Satan, "brings us evil or blasphemous thoughts, we should start the Jesus prayer and say to the devil, 'It's good that you pricked me, for I had forgotten my Christ.' When we do this, even if we were to keep the devil near, he won't remain, since he is not so dumb as to work for free and to bring benefit to our soul." So what this means is, in difficult times, in times when it's hard to love those around us, in times when it's hard to love even God, in times like for the myrrh-bearing women and Nicodemus and Joseph, when it seems like all hope is gone, it's then that we continue to do something, that we don't just absolutely give up. And the easiest thing, as it said here, is the Jesus prayer: "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And when it's hard because of the relationships we have with those around us to love them, that's when we do the small things. That's when we offer to help them in any way that would be helpful to them. That's when we pray for them. First and foremost, that's when we pray for them. And through praying for them, thus work on our own salvation, to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.